Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't forget, after you've listened to it, you've got to let this podcast rest to get the full, juicy listening flavour. Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast with me, Ed Gamble.
And me, James Acaster, if you please.
Yes, I do please. Thank you very much. I am pleased because this is a food podcast where we ask a special guest their
favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink.
And our special guest this week is...
Paul Scheer.
Paul Scheer is a brilliant writer, actor, improviser, podcaster.
Oh, just an all-rounder across the board. I first saw Paul Scheer in The League, a sitcom called The League. He's very funny, isn't it?
He's brilliant.
And I'm so delighted to have him on the podcast today.
He was in a sketch show called Human Giant that I've been a fan of for many, many years. Mm-hmm. He's in loads of... He's in most stuff that you will have seen.
Yeah, you'll know Paul Scheer.
You'll
Come
know
on.
Paul Scheer. You will. And he does a brilliant podcast called How Did This Get Made with June Diane Raphael and Jason Mantzoukas, where they watch a terrible film every week. And it is fantastic.
Still, if Paul Scheer says the secret ingredient this week, then we might have to rename this podcast, How Did This Guy Get Kicked Out of the Dream Restaurant?
Yeah, that's a great title, actually, man.
Yeah, pretty good title, actually. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Liquid smoke. Liquid smoke, often added to sort of barbecue situations where you don't have a proper smoker. And man, it's so easy to overdo it. I've used it before and it does not taste good. Because it turns out, we're not magicians. You can't put smoke into liquid.
No, well, me and you aren't magicians. The great Benito is, he might be able to do it. But like most people are not magicians that cannot handle the liquid smoke. No.
You're a genie though.
I'm a genie, but it's real smoke every time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
You've never done liquid smoke out there.
No, never have, never will.
So hopefully Paul Scheer will not say that, otherwise he will be removed from the Dream Restaurant.
We're in Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, we're in LA as well. That's where we interviewed Paul, at the Earwolf Studios.
So, you know, there might be a few LA references.
Sure,
the
there'll be an LA ref. This was one of the ones that we got to record, and the great Benito was through the other side of the glass looking in, like a record producer.
Yeah, he's not in the same room as us, he's just, which is nice. Like, I can't hear him and be like...
But every so often you do look through the glass and you sort of see the shadowy face of Benito frowning and shaking his head.
Yeah, and you can see his breath against the glass where he's gone, no, I don't like that.
It's like an early bit of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah. He's just shaking his head. No, we have to get rid of that.
So here is the off-menu of
Paul Scheer.
Welcome, Paul, to the Dream Restaurant.
I am so excited to be here, and it's very hard to get reservations here. But, I figured I used my points from Open Table. I was able to get in. Have you ever used those points from Open Table? Like, I feel like do you have Open Table?
Yeah, we've got Open Table. I've only noticed the points recently. I have absolutely no idea what they do.
I'm accruing them, and to what end? I don't know. I feel like it's like a video game with, like, it's like, oh, I have all these coins. How would I ever spend them? I'm surprised, and I know they've started these a couple of times, these like restaurant apps where you pay to get a reservation.
Yes.
And I'm kind of down for that because of my last minute planning. I I'm like, let's do it. I don't mind paying a premium for that kind of stuff.
I like the idea of people being punished for canceling late as well.
Oh,
I don't like people canceling late.
No. Or at least have the wherewithal to call and cancel. Like, cancel late, but at least cancel. Just don't not show up.
Yeah.
Because then you should be publicly shamed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. sorry. Welcome. I would agree.
Yeah, sorry. The genie was just sat in his lamp there listening to that.
Sorry,
happen.
Guys. Sorry. Sorry, I was listening to it going, yeah, I am. But I was like, oh, all this late talk. And I feel like I'm a bit late to the podcast. Yeah. I haven't even called ahead and cancelled.
I really jumped in on my open table stuff. Yeah. I apologize.
I was sitting in the lamp thinking, what's open table? Yeah. What are people talking about? I think I've used open table before.
Yeah, you will have done. Yeah. You will have done. But no one's ever used those points. No one knows what
I don't know what those points are getting me. I don't know why I'm trying to get them. I don't, you know, at one point I made sure that I checked in, but they didn't check me in, and I was like, no, I was at that reservation. I need those points. You know, because I thought that open table, it kind of works like Uber or Lyft, where if you don't show up enough, you get like a bad rating.
Yeah,
and the restaurant's like, nah, we're not gonna give you a
or
table
if you don't
here.
Tip enough.
Oh geez,
yeah, that would be good. But so the points add up, and neither of you know what you're gathering the points
I just
for,
know I got points.
But you've got points.
I mean,
points.
I should look at how many points I have right now at Open Table. I probably have a...
One day it's going to mean something.
Point. Yeah, maybe it's for like a future war or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone with
eventually
Open
we're
going
to be ranked.
Yeah, we will have all of our points. Yeah. Look at it like, yeah, I've got 100 plus points. Some restaurants have extra points. Like, I don't know what those points are about. Right now... I've earned 1,100 points.
Wow.
That feels like a lot of points.
Yeah, yeah, I have 89 reservations. I did 4 reviews. I don't know what the reviews were that I, what I did, but I don't even know. It says next reward at 2,000, but I don't even know what the reward is.
So you're on 1,000 something.
Yeah, I'm on track to unlock the 2,000 point mark. But again, it doesn't look, I guess I can get $20 off on a hotel.
Oh, so that's what your first reward was.
My first reward is $20 in hotel savings from Kayak, which is not even a hotel. It's just like one of those like chains where you just go there and you build like, I need to travel from here to here. What's the cheapest flight? Like,
that, right, okay.
Yeah. So that's $20 off. But if I spend 900 more points, I'll get $40 off on hotel.
Okay.
And then if I do 900 more points, that's when I'm going to get $20 off of dinner. And then... If I spend 900 more than that, $10 off Amazon. These are not great rewards.
Let me tell you, I'm on 2,200 points, so I can tell you what's happening up here, up here in the 2,000 mark. Absolutely nothing. I've done 66 bookings.
Uh-huh.
I'm on 2,200. 8 reviews, but I don't remember leaving reviews. Are they reviews of me?
Well, I don't remember leaving any reviews.
Yeah. I hope they're reviews of you.
It's absolute pig. That's the first review.
I want to hear them immediately.
Eats with his mouth open.
Are they reviews that you've left at the restaurants?
No, because I don't remember. I don't leave reviews for restaurants.
Neither do I. The only time I do it is when I'm guilted into it by a place that I enjoy. Like there's a dry cleaner by my house, and they made a very impassioned plea, like, can you please review us on Yelp? And then I'm like, well, I'm a dick if I don't do that. So I have a fake name on Yelp. Now we're jumping apps. But on Yelp, I have a fake name and a fake picture.
Uh-huh.
And I review there. It's still Paul, but it's a different last name. Yeah. And but it's an older man with a beard cheersing a green drink. Like he has a green drink like that. And I love that as my profile pic. And then I will leave a nice review, but then whenever I finish it, they're like, longer, please.
Yeah.
And I'm like, longer? I've given it to you. I've given you the rating, and I told you it was good. Like, why do I need to get in? Like, I have to write an article for
Do
this?
You write the review? Is it sort of what you think in the reviews, or is it what the healthy old man thinks?
I am. My character work does not go that deep on Yelp. I wish it to go. I should. it should be the old man.
Healthy old man.
Yeah, healthy old man.
He'd get like a running story with him as well. Like, he's married in the first one, but his marriage falls apart gradually with all his reviews.
I used to go here with my wife, but it should maybe even be a little bit more like bizarre. Like, my wife was killed in a jet ski accident. Like, there's a bizarre way that she was murdered. Maybe I did it.
I think it has to end up that you did it. Yeah,
kind of like the Jinx. So by the end, it's like, you accidentally confessed.
I did it all.
Yeah.
I did it all.
Yeah.
And anyway, this is the best place to get your auto, your oil changed.
So we always start with still or sparkling water in the Dream Restaurant. Do you have a preference?
I do indeed. I am a sparkling water person, especially if I'm going to the Dream Restaurant. I want a nice sparkling water.
Yeah.
And I want the bubbles to be potent. I don't want like this. I feel like there is sometimes at these restaurants, they have sparkling water that doesn't feel like it's really like zhuzhed up. I need some carbonation in there. That's what I'm asking
for. Yeah, don't want lazy bubbles.
Yeah, the lazy bubble stuff is like sometimes you get naturally sparkling water, which is super lazy bubbles.
I don't want that.
Almost, you shouldn't really be calling that sparkling water.
No.
Angry Still, you should be calling
it
that.
It should be like a kid's science experiment coming over to my table. I want to be bubbling up. Put a lemon in it. Let's do this, people. Come on.
Do you want
on.
It sort of coming out of a volcano? Like it's a proper kid's science experiment.
I mean, look, I would like a volcano at the table, sure. I could just drink out of the volcano, put a straw into it.
Yeah.
A big tiki drink.
We could do that for you. We could do a sparkling water volcano to kick off the meal in style.
What do you think? And I will be asking this for every question. The healthy old man would want.
The healthy old man would definitely want. He would do still because the bubbles make him a little. The indigestion is a little tough.
And they remind him of when his wife's last breath from under the sea.
Let me ask you guys this question. I watched it go down. I wish I knew how to swim. I wish. I just didn't know. But then there's like a picture that comes out where I was swimming. I was actually a swimming champion and a child. And my story doesn't clear. What do you think about restaurants that bottle their own water? Because I've noticed a trend here in LA and actually in New York as well, where they have like a dispenser, like a almost like their own like a soda stream. If you guys are familiar with that. I like that. I don't need to have a bottle, like a giant bottle open, because then I feel pressure. Then they're pouring me that thing all the time. And then I just want to drink with reckless abandon. I don't know why sparkling water is held to a higher. It's not like anything's in there, but yet I'm paying a premium for this.
So you want the tap? You want like a sparkling water tap, basically?
Yes.
Is that free when they have that?
Yes, it is.
Free sparkling water.
Yeah, because it's just water. It just has a little CO2 in it. We're not. But we're going out to eat. You can spare the CO2.
It's water just with a fancy hat on.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that something you'd like in your house as well?
You know, I had a soda stream in my house, and I used it a lot. I didn't make soda. That doesn't seem appealing to me to make my own soda. I'm not getting into that game. I just want to give me the sparkling water. I felt a lot of control over it. I could ramp it up the way I wanted. And then, and I had an errand to do. Then I'd have to take that canister out, bring it to a local, stationery store, because the oddest places replace that CO2 cartridge. I'm like, go to Staples. I'm like, all right, I'm going to buy computer paper and return a CO2 cartridge.
So you liked it because it added an errand to your day.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Like, it gives me a reason to get out of the house.
Yeah.
I'm working for this soda.
Did you ever, offer it to friends when they come over? Would you want some sparkling water for my soda stream?
No, because you know what? I drank it like a savage, an absolute savage, because they would give you a bottle of it, and then a bottle, and then you would put that bottle in, you'd screw it in, you press down the button, and it gets all fizzy. And I would never pour that bottle into a glass. No, I just drink right out of that bottle. That bottle is mine now. If I respect the people who come over to my house enough to be like, that bottle has like literally been in my mouth. That is literally my bottle.
It goes from my mouth to the soda stream and back again. It's never been washed. There's nothing.
Maybe had a guest bottle, but that was a private thing.
Pop it up, sore bread. Pop it up, sore bread.
Oh, you
Paul.
Know, you know what I would like? I mean, the bread that I like the most is a very fluffy, hot, salty bread. Something that feels like it's like they're bringing it to the table, covered up. You're ready to go. It's so hot that you may even be like, give me a little bit of that. Because you need that, because it's got to melt the butter, because I don't have time to sit here and do all that work either. And that butter better not be refrigerated.
Yeah.
Like, let's bring That's that, important. Bring it in a butter bell or whatever you're going to do. I need that to be ready to go. I like the guy who comes over with the presentation of the bread.
Yeah.
I'll take any kind of bread. I like something a little, but I like that kind of sweet, the simple, just like kind of salt, butter, mm-hmm. out of the oven bread.
And you want the bread to be covered when it arrives. So you want a bit of theater to have it unveiled.
I need to see the curtains open. Yeah. Like, this is the first, like, look, you know, look, I'm going out for the night. Entertain me.
Yeah.
Reveal the bread to me. Because I know, you know, it's like when it just dumped the table, dropped off like a kid at preschool. It's like, that's no fun in that. You have no joy in it. I want the person to be like, I'm the bread guy. All I do. Like, I'm like the sommelier, but for bread. I see that guy around, and I'm like, and he comes back around like, do you want more of that raisin bread? Yeah, I do. Come on, bring. Like, maybe I'll try a different one this time. Like, I like a restaurant with a designated bread man.
So how is he dressed? How is the bread man dressed?
Well, I mean, look, you know, this is the best restaurant ever. I mean, like, part of me, I have an affinity. Like, I do highbrow, lowbrow. That's where I live. So I could describe a place to you that looks like, you know, the planet Mars. There's a place in New York City called Mars 2112 that you would get in a space shuttle and then it would rickety rock around and you would open the doors would open up and you were in Mars and you ate on Mars.
Is that a real place?
Oh, yeah. Mars 2112. It was a real place for quite some time. It's no longer there. And I'm like, I am all in for an experience. Like that, like Rainforest Cafe. Let me have fish flying around and monkeys swinging from the. But then I also respect a lovely, austere, like fine dining, like just beautifully done. But if it is, you know, because I've been thinking about the show, like, this is not my last meal. This is just a meal, right?
Just a meal, just a dream meal.
So then I would say I would like at least one animatronic element there. Like, you know, like, I don't need it to be overwhelming.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it might be something fun, like on the way to the bathroom, there's an animatronic man there, you know, like a bathroom attendant or something that, you know. So I would like this restaurant to have a level of decorum that doesn't feel like I'm going to feel uncomfortable that I'm underdressed. But I would want somebody to come to the table, like, not in a, you know, not in a t-shirt and jeans. You know, let's step it up. Let's respect these.
So, would you like the bread guy to be like Michael Sheen's character in Passengers?
Well, you know, that is a great reference. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like,
yeah. Is that what you would like?
You know, I also feel like at restaurants, I don't see it enough. A jaunty hat. I feel like no one in restaurants, no servers wear hats. Yeah. And it feels to me, that would be the best thing to wear if you're at a restaurant because your hair is going to get in this food anyway. Like, we should be bringing hats to restaurants,
bring
people.
The hat back.
Bring the hat back. You know, I'm not saying wearing a baseball cap. I'm saying wearing a nice, like, if you came to my table and you're a waiter wearing a fedora, I'm like, I respect you because you respect your job. Like, why are people in the kitchen got to wear a fucking hat, but you're carrying my food? Arguably in the most traumatic moments here, like from the kitchen out, you can't control anything. We're hats.
Yeah, so
we're
emotional life.
Are we reclaiming the fedora from pickup artists?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
I want a fedora. I want a Kangol. Put on some sort of hat, you know, something jaunty and lovely.
So the bread guy's got a hat on. Mm-hmm. It's jaunty. He reveals the bread.
Boom.
You mentioned curtains. I think you were talking metaphorically, but we can put the bread behind some little
curtains. I mean, of course. I mean, like, we're talking, like, I don't mind. I went to a wedding one time, and it was one of my best weddings. I grew up in Long Island, which is a suburb of New York City, and I'm trying to think of, like, what Long Island is. It's a little trashy. You guys have that Geordie Shore, right? Like elements of, like, that, right? So, and so we were at this place called Russo's on the Bay, and one of the best experiences I've ever had at this wedding. First of all, the bride and groom came up through glass elevators from the floor.
What?
Yeah, that was
amazing.
Were you
amazing. At Prince's wedding?
I mean, this is the level of, like, it was cheesy enough to be, like, lovely and also, like, yeah. And then they also had, like, video monitors around the entire place. So they had a camera running at the whole time so you could, like, just check in with the video monitors. But one of the best moments was, you know, you're eating, they had a beautiful buffet to start. They had a great meal. But at the end, you're like, oh, I guess dessert's coming. The lights went dim. And then all of a sudden, this voice comes on. It goes, ladies and gentlemen, Russo's on the Bay would like to introduce you to your desserts. And then all the walls open, like they were on spinners. And then you opened your world into, like, a Willy Wonka chocolate factory where there was, like, a donut machine. I swear to God, there were sparklers coming out of the chocolate fountain. I was like, holy shit. And then you walked into that room and they gave you a box, a bakery box, and you filled it up with whatever you wanted to take home.
Because
it wasn't wedding cake. You had the wedding cake at the table. This is just extra food for you to take home.
I wish I'd been there so bad.
You would have died of a heart attack if that had happened.
Yeah, yeah. So you just described my dream. That is like, I fantasize about that every day.
It is. There is nothing more fulfilling to me than an amazingly well done like a buffet in the sense of like multiple tables. Yeah. And I want a high end buffet. I want like there's people working, there's things going on. It's not like the one that's just like out and just sitting. Like this place had a donut maker. The guy's making his own donuts. You know, the Four Seasons in Las Vegas has a great breakfast buffet only on Sundays. And it's very much like that. Perfect, really well done, really well.
Man, but do they announce all the courses like a wrestler?
No, I mean that's. Yeah. I mean that's. I love that. That's how you get that in Long Island.
I love the courses being announced.
Should we announce all the courses like that?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, your bread. And maybe they also introduce it like it's like it has some sort of like build up. Like you've seen this bread started at as a semolina out in the fields of so and so, and then it met its partner in butter. This butter, you know, like it's like a really like a real bio. Yeah.
Well, in that case, Paul Scheer.
Yeah.
Please welcome your starter.
Ooh. Okay. So I thought about this. There's a handful of things that we were talking about, and I was like, well, what is considered a good starter? You know, and I'm trying to figure out, where do I go? I lean generally towards seafood. That is something if I'm doing like a perfect meal, so you're going to see elements of that, but I wanted to kind of also pull away from that. I want to tell you, I'm just going to give you a couple things about me, just so you know.
Yeah.
I'm primarily pescatarian, but if a good piece of meat or something comes by, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. And so I was at first wrestling with my starter being this thing that I love from John and Vinny's, which is a restaurant out here, an amazing restaurant. They're so good that John and Vinny's does L.A. to New York, the food on the flights from L.A. to New York on Delta out here, and their airline food is delicious. Like, I can't wait to be on that flight because John and Vinny's does it. It's so good. And so John and Vinny's is so good, and I was thinking about, I love everything they do there, but they have this amazing bruschetta on a big, thick piece of toast with I wrote it down, so I wanted to make sure I didn't mess it up because this is a, you know, I don't want to mess up, but now as I'm saying this, it's not my pick because I've already had bread.
Sure.
But I'll quickly get through this and then, here it is. This is ricotta, orange blossom honey, and sesame seed, and it's really delicious.
Wow.
It really, like a very different way to do like a bruschetta, not like
tomato and all that.
This is like a really, this orange blossom honey, so good. And I was like, oh, that would be delicious. But then I realized maybe what I do is go decadent. And I went to a restaurant in Japan, in Tokyo, called Shima. And they had these steak, like they're so thin. I took a picture of it. And it was the best steak sandwich I've ever had, but it's not very big. It could be a starter. It could be it's a great way to maybe start off a meal. The steak melted in my mouth. I know people say that a lot, like, I've never eaten a steak that was this good. I've never experienced this taste in my life. It was like, once you ate it, you're like, I need to eat this every day. It didn't even feel like it felt like, I don't even know what it was. So the little mini steak from Shima in Tokyo, what would be my opener thing?
Is it a sandwich, did you say?
It's a little sandwich that it's like, it
like
looks
a
almost
slider?
Like a, you know what? You could say it like that. It was like, it looks almost like a steak cutlet. Like it looks very much like a chicken cutlet, but it's steak. And it is.
So it's like so they do like katsu sandos in.
Yes.
But that's normally with pork, but I have seen they've done them with like wagyu beef. Yeah.
Yes. And that's exactly it. You see, fantastic. This is, you've just nailed it. That's exactly it. That is, and it is. It is unreal. It's so, so good.
And I can imagine that it is a good size for a starter because when it's really nice beef, they come in quite small cubes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really marbled and like, yeah.
And then you don't need a big thing. It's an amazingly, you can see like it looks a little bit, this is what they look like.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Just a, three stripes, bread, beef, it's bread, all really, the same thickness as each other.
It's yeah, it's amazing. It's
like
beautifully
a lovely
done.
Flag.
So yeah. I thought that would be a decadent way to start. And now, look, I'm not really planning myself. Like, I feel like I'm going to get full pretty quickly already. Like, I've already had two pieces of bread here at the start. But I'm going for it.
It's a dream meal. Just fill up on bread.
Yeah.
Also, starter-wise, what's the healthy old man having?
The healthy old man? Well, the healthy old man is going to do something very nice. It's going to be like an endive, but there'll be some things in like a, almost like a, kind of like a lettuce cup, but an endive cup. Delicious, nice, respectful, a little bit of spice to it, but not too much. Not going to kick too much.
Yeah. The last thing the healthy old man is doing is filling up on bread, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. He is avoiding bread at all costs.
He's not had bread since 1986.
Because he knows he's got limited time. He's got to keep it all healthy.
Yeah. And he's like, this reminds me of I used to have an allotment myself, and I'd grow my own vegetables.
Yeah.
But then you'd look into it and be like, he didn't have an allotment.
He stole from his next-door neighbor. That's all the time.
Yeah, it's always like Peter Rabbit.
We did have an allotment, and everything he planted died. And they were like, why? What's under there? What's under that soil?
That soil, healthy old man. What's this healthy old man actually doing in this garden?
It's made of people. The reason why the fertilizer is so good, it's just dead corpse.
Oh no, is that what's in the green drink?
Oh no.
Oh no, healthy old man's drinking people.
He's the Sweeney Todd of gardening, this man.
You just put a little ginger in there and it goes down so smooth.
Healthy old man. So your main course, that's a delicious starter. Yeah. That sounds very, very good.
Yes. So the main course I thought a lot about. It's incredibly specific, but I'm a big omakase type of person. So you go to a Japanese restaurant, the sushi chef makes you what he wants. And I want this one chef that I used to go to here in Los Angeles. He had a restaurant called Saito. Saito was in the grossest, most dilapidated strip mall that you would ever see. You would never know that a respectable restaurant was in this strip mall. As a matter of fact, the first time I ever went, I was like, well, this clearly is not the place. It's like, there's like multiple drug addicts hanging out in this donut shop. Like, where is this sushi place? And the windows look closed. You go inside. There's only two tables and the rest was a sushi bar. And by the look of you, he would determine if you could sit at the sushi bar or he would push you off to a table. I got in with him. I got to sit at the sushi bar and I went to him for many, many years. He is now retired and went back to Japan. But in that time, it was the most amazing sushi I've ever had. The place never had more than 2 to 3 people in it at any given time. And it was a very like kind of solo experience where he would do this thing. And one of the best experiences I've ever had was on his birthday, he would make his ideal birthday meal for you.
Wow. Right.
So that's what I would do for my main meals.
This is great because everyone else that we've ever had on the podcast has obviously picked the food that they want.
Right.
You've ordered a chef.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to let him do it.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I want because it's like there is something about like I love in general not having to order anything. Like I want you to not entertain me, but I'm like, do your thing. Like I feel like apologies
for inviting you on the podcast.
I am such a fan of, I feel like it's an art and I feel like it's a thing. Like, it's like, you know, what's going to be fresh. You know, what's going to be good. Like, just make your thing. Mm. I once went to a restaurant in, like this Italian restaurant. It's like, who's the guy who wore like the Crocs or whatever. He's a big Italian chef. I forget his name now. But Batali.
Mario Batali.
Not a good guy or seemingly not a good guy, but great chef. And I went to one of his restaurants and his one of his servers said, can I show you what I would order? She's like, I'm a career server. She's like, and I'm going to create for you an amazing meal. She's like, I don't want you to look at the menus. Uh-huh. I will dictate this. She's like, you'll all get a plate. Everyone takes one bite from the plate and you pass to the person to the left and you keep on going around. It was one of the best meals ever. And I feel like the best meals I've ever had, I've not weighed in on at all. I'm just like, I know this place is great. Do your thing. And I think that like, and I love that about sushi is like, I don't know what's going to be fresh. I want you to surprise me. I don't know what I'm getting next. I feel like it's like Christmas morning, but you're eating. It's like, what? Oh, great. Yeah. Sure. I have no preconceived notions. I just know that you take pride in it. And I also feel like when you give that over to a server or you give that over to a chef, they're like, oh, shit, I got to step it up. Like,
yeah,
you're putting me on the spot now. I got, you know, and like you've given them the ultimate trust.
Yeah. That person saying, that server saying to you, just let me choose it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if she had messed that up, that would have been hilarious.
Yeah. It would have been disgusting.
Terrible.
And there is that moment where you're like, what, do I give over? Because it's not even the chef. It's just the server.
Yeah.
And she's like, trust me. She's like, I moved across country to work for Batali. Yeah. She's like, I've only worked for chefs I really admire. She's like, I will make this an amazing meal for you. And I think at that point too, like I had not that, like all of us didn't have that much money and we had no idea what this is going to cost. It was there's a real leap of faith.
Yeah.
This is going to bankrupt us. I don't
know. It would be a great prank though for a server on like their last day of work or something to do that to a table and then just bring like loads of fried eggs.
Yeah, just fried eggs.
Eat it. Oh, it's good. Yeah. Once you have the fifth one.
Take a little bite from the egg and then pass it around to the left and then you get another egg passed around.
Just keep on delivering the same thing but calling it something different, completely different. Now this, wait, isn't it just a fried egg?
The first fried egg, you'd be like, well, this isn't very fancy. That's a bit weird. We'll let that go, but we're off to a shaky start. And then they come out again. It's like, okay, your second dish. Like, what the fuck?
But don't you think it's like that thing where you also start to buy into it? Like, they have all these commercials all the time. Like, I saw like Penn and Teller did one thing like this, and Burger King has been doing a thing where it's like, have this burger and be like, whoa, this burger's amazing. You're like, it's Burger King. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
you know, or it's like people are drinking water. It's like, this water is like $50 a bottle. And it's like just out of like literally a hose.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But like there is like a preconceived thing where if you are being served and people like present it in a way, like every sommelier, like how many people really know wine well enough to be like, take down the sommelier? You're like, oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah.
You're watching a show. It's like, I will see Shakespeare. I'm not the biggest fan in the sense that I can't tell you anything by verse, but I love seeing Shakespeare, but I would never be like, God, that wasn't good. I mean, I like, you know,
it's always good.
Yeah, it's always good. Perform anything is pretty much always good. Like, you know, like, like unless it's really bad, like, it's like, it's hard. Like if you're not a pro in that thing, it's like, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like,
I think I'd fall for it. Certainly the first egg.
Yeah.
I'd definitely fall for it. If they said this is
so delicious.
By the third egg, I would be like, I would be like this. Wow, this is I've never had a three fried egg meal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go tell my friends. Like, and then they brought a third fried egg out.
The best eggs I've ever tasted.
And they're like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your dessert. And then it's just fried eggs. There's so many fried eggs just shoot into the room.
You get handed an egg box to take some home.
Yeah.
You get...
Is that dessert? Are you sure? So his birthday sushi, you don't know what you're getting?
No, I mean, to me, I feel like... I've done omakase all over, pretty much not all over the world, but in many different places because you always try to find a good sushi place. And I feel like there are similarities. You're always going to get, you know, there's only as many fish. You know, it's not like, oh, I've never had tuna before. But, you know, but it's always, I think, the way it's prepared too. It's like there, like when I was in Japan, there was the presentation was really fun and exciting. I also went to a Jiro when I was in Japan, and that was... I would say, and I'm going to just go out on the line and say, not my best sushi meal I've ever had. And I was really expecting it to be. The experience was really interesting. Like being in the restaurant was really good. The sushi was good. It wasn't like, oh my God, you know, but I think it's a lot about, I love that relationship that you have between the chef, like sitting with the chef. I've never sat at a chef's table in a kitchen, but that's as close as I've kind of gotten. And I love that communal nature of it. I love that you're with the person that's making the food and you get to be a part of it and they get to see you enjoy it. I like that.
I guess because it's his birthday, he might give it to you with like a candle in it.
Well, at the end, the sushi would all have candles in it. Everyone. Yeah. It gets redundant at a certain point, but you have to go there.
You got to eat it quick as well.
Well, I remember like when he was closing down, one of the coolest things about it was he started giving away the store, like, or the restaurant. Like, so like I came in and he would be like, here, you want this plate off the wall? Like you want, like, and he's giving everybody this, like whatever was up. Cause he's like, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah.
And one of the coolest things that he did was once it became a regular, he gave you a sake cup. And so it was a wooden cup and you could decorate it any which way you wanted. And whenever you came in, you get your own, you knew who the regulars were because you had your own wooden cup, hand decorated wooden cup.
How was yours decorated?
Yeah.
Mine was simple. I mean, some people took them home and really it up. Uh-huh. You know, I just kind of like wrote, I still have it. Because when he left, he gave it back to me.
Yeah. Be awful if you gave it to someone else.
No, I know.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I gave your sake cup away.
But it was a little bit too much pressure for me when, like, that's another thing. I have a hard time performing in those moments, like, oh, here it is. Now I decorate it. I'm like, artist is not like, by trade, that's not something I could like, oh, yes, here, I'll do this and that. I just kind of kept it. I wrote my name on it. I tried to do it nice and clean because I knew I only had one shot. You know, I didn't want to fuck it up. Because like, that's the other thing too. Like, I can't erase it and like, you know, like.
So everyone else had really like, intricate designs, and yours said Paul Scheer.
it literally said like Paul Scheer's number one sake cup. Very simple design. Like, it was nothing. But it's minimalism really spoke to the restaurant and the food. You know, need it to be that.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't give yours away.
No, exactly.
No one wants Paul Scheer's number one sake cup. And before we move on, what's the healthy old man having for his main course?
Healthy old man is going to do something that I feel like is going to be nice, which is a broiled fish. Like, you know, it's going to have some flavor, and it's going to be a white fish, a flaky white fish. Yeah. And I think that there's going to be capers, not an overwhelming amount of capers. And I would put, you know, underneath it, you know, nothing, not like a pasta, not even a risotto. I would just say for the healthy old man, I think it's going to be just very simple garnish, but it will be an edible garnish. Maybe like a green pepper, a yellow pepper, just a little bit to give it some color. So it's just like a white fish on a plate.
Yeah, and it doesn't remind him of anyone's birthday, I'd imagine.
No. You don't want to think about the birthday. I mean, especially because his birthday he shared with his wife, and that is
they had the same birthday.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing.
You dig down into it, they were twins?
They were never married.
They were brother and sister. They were brother and sister. They left the country because their love was forbidden. They could never make babies.
That's why I had to kill her. The cops were onto them.
Look, you know what? Honestly, the truth is, their parents died. They left them money. He didn't want to split it. He wanted to take that money and start a brand new life.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. Oh, that healthy old man.
He's so healthy.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I want to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your side dish.
Side dish. Thought a lot about this as well. I have a very easy answer. I talked to you earlier about highbrow, lowbrow, right? Salad bar. I want like a massive salad bar. Like I want like a salad bar that's not fucking around. Like, you know, an intense one. There's one that I can think of in this restaurant. I'm talking about highbrow, lowbrow. This place called Fogo de Chao, right?
You know, as soon as you said salad bar, I was like, Fogo de Chao, right? 100%.
Now, Fogo de Chao.
What are you talking about?
All right, so Fogo de Chao is like basically a place where they bring over meat on large skewers and they just slice it for you. Now, that's expensive. So I think what they do is they spend a lot of money in the salad bar. So you go there and you start eating all the salad. Yeah. And then when the meat comes, you're a little bit full. So they kind of are helping their budget by like saying eat less meat, eat more salad.
Yeah.
But that salad bar
is fantastic.
It's like everything is fresh and beautiful and great and in multiple trips and you know everything looks just like absolute perfection.
Yeah.
That salad bar. I'm a sucker for a great salad bar.
Yeah. Now, with me and that salad bar, what happened is not only do they have amazing salads on there and amazing vegetables, they also have a lot of cheese on there. We're talking whole mozzarella balls.
Yes.
Huge wheels of Parmesan where you just chip off chunks.
Get in there, yeah.
So I would go up there for a salad and come back with a bowl of cheese.
Yes.
But you know what? But that you want to have that, like, I mean, look, to chunk off your own parm, that's... Yeah. I mean, that's a dream. That like I'm a big parm guy and I want to get in there. I want to work for
chisel
it.
Chisel away.
Yeah, that's what a salad bar should be. We've gotten so used to like sad greens and a couple of like, you know, like it looks like the Subway sandwich shop like salad bar, which is like the saddest thing ever. Like that row of like food, like of vegetables and stuff.
Bowl
like,
of corn and stuff,
It looks like everyone's out on parole. It's like the skid row of salad bars. And I need us to be like, this is where things are happening, people. Like, let's give it back. Let's enjoy it.
Fogo de Chao, I've told you about before.
I feel like that's where
I went when I was in Philadelphia. And I ate so much meat that I was only there for one night, and I went back to the hotel room and I farted so much that I had to check out earlier than I thought I was going to because I was worried. I was worried what was going to happen.
I remember now.
I once, when I was a kid, I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't have like milk and stuff like that. But I didn't know that early on when I was a kid. And I went down to Walt Disney World to have a big, you know, family trip. And what do you do? I'm a little kid. I'm eating a lot of ice cream. This is when I find out that I'm lactose intolerant. And I really kind of culminated in like, oh, my stomach. And then I just started puking all over this hotel room. Like so much so that like, I puked in one bed. My dad took all sheets, put them out the side of the room. I puked in the other bed, took all the sheets, put them in the room. Like, puked around, towels. No. So, like, when my dad had to, like, sneak out of this hotel. Right? It was, like, because everything was just covered in puke. Like, everything was, like, and it was, like, and it is, there's a shame
it's
in
so
that.
It's so shameful.
Sure.
It's a real shame. You're just like, oh, boy, what did I do? And you want to almost be like, don't touch this, get it away. Like, just bring up some garbage bags and some more
sheets. But at least with the puke, you can get rid of the things that the puke's on. When I fried something, it was like in the curtains. Like they would have had to just strip the whole room.
And you know what? You can't open windows a lot of the times in hotels, so you can't even get that fresh air and move it around in there.
Yeah.
And then you're just trapped in your own filth of farts. And
horrible.
Oh, man. And that's what happens to me a lot of the times. Honestly, like my wife, we are more vegetarian than anything, and we'll eat at these like health food restaurants, and that stuff that will just play havoc with your stomach. It's like, oh yeah, it did taste like nachos, but it's like this is not like it's too much green. It's my body's like that was too much kale.
Yeah, our producer, the great Benito, is a huge Disney World fan. He loves Disneyland, Disney World. So when you're telling that story, I imagined that at some point you puked on the great Benito. I imagine that he walked in with where Mickey Mouse is, excited to be at Disneyland, and you just puked all over it.
I mean, that I'm obsessed with like how Disneyland kind of keeps puking on the side, because you know, look, you have that many kids, There's people puking in that park all the time. Yeah. I've never seen puke. I heard that like when you go through the parade, like because especially in Florida, it's so hot and you're in those giant costumes and they're heavy and you got to dance and look all fun. I heard that once they walk past like the you know, it's like on stage, off stage. Once they go off stage, it's just like puke central. Like there's basically like a reservoir of puke. People are like lifting off their Winnie the Pooh heads like, Like it's like, oh god!
Imagine if you
and
saw
of course
that
they
kid,
should be, yeah.
If you saw that as a kid, that would be, I think, your life over. If you saw Winnie the Pooh take his head off and, just and then vomit everywhere,
just puke everywhere. Also, I feel like going back to your side dish that this salad bar is. This is where you and the healthy old man cross paths.
Yes. This is where I see him.
I feel like
he's not going to come over on the cheese side. No, but I see him. and we make eyes and he gives me a little. Like a little nod, like, I see you.
Raises his green glass at you.
Exactly.
Oh, hello. And then and kind of maybe puts his finger to his lip and goes, shh.
Yeah. I wasn't here.
You didn't see me.
Yeah.
H-O-M.
Maybe he's dressed in like the server uniform for Fogo de Chao and then he takes his name badge off and sneaks out the back. And where did my server go? The old man. There's no old man
who
works.
Or you see him like you see him like subtly walk by a table and scoop a credit card, like puts his hand down, like, I'm having trouble walking. And then takes a credit card off. I make eye contact with him.
Yeah.
And there's a moment. And he's like, and I don't say anything. He doesn't say anything. I once had that in a subway. I was in New York City and it was so crowded. One of those times where you're just all packed in, it's just awful. And I watched a man go into a woman's purse, like to get out her wallet. And as he was pulling it up, I made eye contact with him. He made eye contact with me. You know, just put it right back down.
You must have looked pretty tough.
It was sort of like we were trapped. Like it was like all I need to do is like be like just reach out my hand and touch the woman. And be like this guy's in your position. Like you know, there was nowhere for him to go. There was nowhere for me to go. Like and even if he wanted to hit me, like he'd have to like get through three other bodies at me. It was like.
It would have been unreasonable for him to hit you at that point. Yeah.
Very ambitious of him.
Yeah, it really was.
So much more respect for him if, as he put it back in, he went, whoop.
Yeah. What are you getting from the salad bar before we move on?
I treat a buffet, a salad bar, as little plates, small plates. I do a small plate thing. So I would maybe go up one time and just enjoy the cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese crackers, maybe some honey. Because, by the way, I wouldn't normally get honey with cheese, but I'd be like, well, it's here. Let me try it.
You know,
like maybe sometimes I'll go up and get those like dolmas, right? Those like little, the vine leaves.
The vine leaves, right?
I get that. You know, I like to do multiple trips. I'm not creating like the world's best salad. I'm saying like, well, let me do a little bit of this and go back over here. Hey, is there, you know, maybe there's some even... you know, like boiled shrimp in there, like some cold shrimp, you know, like shrimp cocktail in there. I don't know. Maybe there is. I'm going up. I think part of it comes from the fact that I'd like to get up in meals. I think from ever since I was a kid, I'm like, it's nice. I'm like, I'm doing something. I'm a part of this. But I like grazing. I'm a big grazer when I'm out. And I also find that if I take small plates, I enjoy the buffet a lot more because I didn't like overwhelm myself with one giant plate. It's like all the pasta I could eat. It's like, I don't know. Take a little pasta. If I want more, I'll go back and get more.
I'll often make that mistake at buffets. I'll load up everything onto one plate. Yeah. It's like food from all across the world. Just a huge like Pangaea on a plate. And then it all tastes weird.
Yeah, it's like you got to, like that, they're there. They've got plenty of plates.
Yeah.
Just let them keep on taking it away, take it away, take it away. Because that's the trick is like you get caught up and then all of a sudden, the pan, it's like this mess. Everything's bleeding into everything else. It's like all of a sudden you got some like, orange stuff and it's like mixing in with it's not good.
You should just get a separate bowl of orange stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, you need it. Oh, look, I go back to my kids. My kids are 5 and 3. They have plates that have sections in them.
What?
Give me that.
Yeah.
Why are we growing out of that? I want some divided sections. I mean, like,
like prison.
Hey, I've been saying that for a long time.
No, get me that prison for guessing who your cellmate would be. Also, may I say, we've done like, you know, we've done over 20 episodes by this point, way over 20, and nice to finally see the word Pangaea making an appearance.
Well done, I love chucking that in there.
I don't know what it means, but I'm going to employ it.
Oh, it's when the era, when all the continents were one. Before we all broke apart, we were just one giant landmass. Yeah.
I like it.
May I say, huge shout out to you there. I don't know anyone else who would back reference a word that was used without knowing what it was.
Oh, no idea.
But I love that you didn't question it when it was said.
Yeah.
It was just accepted that that is a Pangaea.
Yeah.
And that you were like, got it.
Yeah, my honest guess would have been a pile of food.
I'm surprised you didn't go for like more of a literal, like, oh, the pan. There's some sort of like a pan,
pancake.
You thought I was using, because I said it's like a, you thought I was using a metaphor. I was saying my plate of food is very much like a plate of food.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, fair enough, Ed. You know, we're doing this podcast a lot. You're going to find different descriptive words. You're really going for the, is it a plate of food? It's like a plate of food. Yeah. It's a line, I think it was cut from Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Your drink.
Drink. All right. Here's, I got one out of the box, I think. Or maybe, I don't know. You guys have done a lot of these. I know that probably people are trying to come in here and do different things. Vanilla milkshake.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, a vanilla, because look, I got my sparkling water. I have that. I don't need to get drunk here. I feel like, again, if all is said and done, a nice vanilla milkshake is a beautiful compliment to any meal. And I don't want it for dessert. I want to have like a little kick in the middle of it. I don't know how good this goes with, I mean, again, in my mind, I've really thrown a lot of things at the table here, but I'm also like, it feels to me like that's a decadent treat that I'll never really order. And then I yet will never put it in front of a good dessert. So when does it fit in? You know, it's going to have to fit in as my drink of choice.
How does Saito feel about this? Bearing in mind, he's making the most amazing sushi. And you're chasing it with a vanilla milkshake.
Yeah, it's his birthday. He loves vanilla milkshake.
Yeah, and by the way, a vanilla milkshake, I feel like that is a nice palate cleanser. A vanilla bean. I'm not coming in here saying, like, give me... Rocky Road, you know, I think that you could argue vanilla is the ginger of the shake world. Saito
brings you over the pickled ginger and you go, no,
vanilla milkshake. Clean my palate. It's a great way to clean your palate. Also, we know that, you know, milk is a great way to like kind of, again, take some of the flavors down, like take some of the heat off.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
You're going to puke everywhere.
Just ate bread, just ate steak, eating sushi, drinking a vanilla milkshake. This is the disgusting meal. Just throwing back Parmesan cheese. And you're right, because I'm lactose intolerant, but I'm bringing a lactaid pill with me. I think I travel with lactaid pills on me at all times.
So you've got a pill. You pop in that before the meal.
Yeah, I got right here. Boom, ready to go. I'm ready to go.
That looks pretty cool. Yeah. So what kind of milkshake is this? Because we've had, I think, in the past, someone's picked strawberry milkshake and someone's picked a protein shake. That person is an insane.
Don't ever concern yourself with him, but he's a troubled individual. Yeah, that's a real,
Someone else chose a strawberry milkshake, but they did it with like the syrup and making it at home with like syrup and stuff like that and adding milk. I was a bit disappointed with that personally.
No ice cream in it,
just like syrup and milk. I was a bit upset.
Yeah.
What's your vanilla milkshake?
Okay, again, it's a very specific thing. I love this place. It comes from a place in Santa Barbara out here in California. It's called McConnell's. Now, McConnell's is a smaller ice cream shop. You can't really get this anywhere else. It's not like a Haagen-Dazs or anything like that. And they make a great vanilla bean. It's a beautiful, simple vanilla. So I would want that McConnell's. That's what I'm thinking of when I'm thinking of a vanilla milkshake. I want that. And I just want it to be traditionally done. I don't know how they make it. But they have a shop. I had it there. I was like, this is the best vanilla milkshake I've ever had in my life. There's no whipped cream on top of it. I don't need that. I want just a simple shake. I think it's just like probably milk and ice cream. Uh-huh. And I think, I don't know much about shakes, but I think that that's probably it. I think it's a very basic.
Yeah.
We're talking basic, bare bones here.
Does it come in a glass and then there's like extra in a tin?
Oh, I mean, you want that tin on the side. I mean, here's the thing. For Saito, I feel like it should maybe be in some sort of a special cup.
Well, you could have it in your sake cup if you want.
Yeah.
Or your milkshake cup. You can decorate yourself.
You want...
Paul Scheer's number one milkshake cup.
Then I would really decorate that. I would have got a nice silver Paul cup, Scheer's really. I want that. The milkshake cup is part of the fun of having the milkshake. You got like why order it if you can't give yourself a little bit of a refill? That's the highlight of the whole thing. I mean, now as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, I should have gone for, you know, probably. So I mean, I'm not complimenting my meals, but I'm complimenting. I know what I like, and sometimes, to me, again, going back to that buffet mentality, I will mix and match flavors. And it's like, I don't need to drink 16 ounces of that milkshake, but I'll just drink a little bit. And that will give me just a little kick. Just want a little bit of that. Want a little parm. I am going to graze the whole thing. I'm just going to little. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want all of your, like, you know, utensils or, like, receptacles, everything to just have Paul Scheer's number one something there?
I mean, look, I'm not going to get... Look, here's the thing. I don't want to be boxed into this corner that I like to label my food. I was forced to label my cup. I felt an enormous pressure. I don't know if you guys feel this way, but doing comedy and people are always like, well, tell me a joke or do the thing. Like, and there's an immense pressure. It's like, I don't feel that pressure when I'm actually doing the thing that I'm doing, but when I'm out of the moment to do the thing I'm doing, I feel... everything in me freezes. I have like that flop sweat. And so like even when Saito gives me that cup, I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of like, I need to think about it. Like, and so there is a momentary freeze. But if you're telling me that I have an option of having everything plated with my name on it, why not? I mean, I why would I say no? I would be insane for you to offer me a regular silverware and then monogram silver. Yeah. I'm going to take the monogram silverware. Yeah. I've never had that. Like
chopsticks. Yeah. Porsche's number one chopstick. Porsche's number two.
I think what you have to do is you would write one. You would write it all in one, and then when you broke it, you couldn't see what was written on it. Let me play it together.
Oh yeah, it's like Double Dragon.
Yeah, and by the way, I would also maybe write it in Japanese, so it would be like a nice because that's what I did do on the cup. He showed me how to, and now I'm remembering.
That's good. Yeah.
He told me how to write it in Japanese, and I did it in Japanese. I did it all with the right symbols.
That's 100% not what he taught you how to write.
Of course not. Assholes, number one cup.
It just said piss cup.
I drink piss. My name's Paul Shit.
There you go. Look, everybody. Look what he's drinking.
Piss cup.
He loves it.
The old man pissed in that cup. I know it.
I don't even have to ask you what the healthy old man's drinking because we all know he likes green drink.
Oh, yeah.
He's got green drink.
Yeah, green drink is definitely there.
Yeah. So
I got to show you the picture of the old man.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Of course.
I think you're picturing him older than. Now I want to find an older picture because I think you're picturing him slightly older than he is, but I like that idea that he is older.
I mean, you can send us that picture and we'll use it to promote this podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I am definitely going to do that. Yeah. I got to get that in there. So good. I'm loving the old man. Here it is right here.
He's so awkward.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah. He's not even that old. But I like him older.
It's even funnier that he's called the healthy old man. He's like probably 50 max.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I love calling him healthy old man.
He's not even fully gray, but there's something about him that is like it's a great awkward shot of him.
The top of his head's cut off.
Yeah, it's like, what I found about it was, I was like, this feels like a real picture.
Yes.
Like, you know, and that's what you really have to kind of grab.
Healthy old man who would, he would leave reviews on websites. And now, Paul Scheer, your dessert.
Well, this is hard, right? Because I love a good cookie. Like, I love a chocolate chip cookie, a well-done cookie. I love a cake. I am a dessert person. I go pies. Like, I like desserts. I very rarely don't find a dessert that I don't agree with. But I have to say, there is something so simple, so easy about Duncan Hines, like a from the box yellow cake with chocolate frosting mix, that I'm like, that's something that I really enjoy. And now as a parent, I'm having a lot of, like, you know, there's a lot of birthday parties and there's a lot of yellow cake. Or there isn't. Actually, a lot of parents out here in Los Angeles, they're getting all these fucking fancy cakes.
Too fancy.
Get me a yellow cake. I made it. Maybe it's two layers. Maybe it's all I want is yellow cake with chocolate frosting. Everything Duncan Hines, out of the box, out of the crate. The frosting is on a shelf in a supermarket. It's not fancy. It's just good. And a couple of sprinkles that are a little bit harder than you would normally want them. That is the flavor palette of, like, a perfect dessert. Like, the yellow cake is firm. It's not hot. Like, I don't want it hot. I just want it to be, I just want it to have a little bit of, like, weight to it. I wanted it to be brown, but not burnt. And but soft and ready to go. That is like a real, like, flavor sensation that I'm like, it's unbeatable.
It's nostalgic for you as well, I guess.
Like, it's just sort of like growing up. Like, I mean, do you have anything similar to that? Like, I mean, I know Duncan Hines is like an American brand, but is there anything like, is there a yellow cake, you know? Do you have
I don't know if there's a yellow cake. I don't know who this Duncan Hines character is.
He's the old man. That's the name of my old man.
That's the name of healthy old man.
Yeah.
So ironic that he runs a cake company.
Yeah. Oh, the perfect cover. I don't think
we have like really some nostalgic birth. I mean, we talked the other day about Colin the Caterpillar cakes, which are like a very nostalgic birthday cake for me.
Okay.
A cake that it looks like a caterpillar.
I've seen now. All right. So I've seen like, I think I've seen a cake like that. I've also seen the cakes where you put like a little baby inside. Have you guys done those?
What did you just say?
Have you heard about the baby cakes?
No. A cake that you put a little baby inside.
All right, hold on. I'm going to get to the baby cake in one second. I'm going to just show you this. This is what I'm talking about. That's the kind of cake I'm
looking at. Right, okay.
Very yellow cake.
I don't even know what yellow is. I don't know. Yeah. It's classic yellow cake. I don't know what the flavor of yellow is. It's not
when
vanilla
cake. When you said yellow cake, I thought, oh, that's just Paul saying that. I don't think on the box it said classic yellow cake.
Yeah, classic yellow. There's another one called, I'm saying yellow.
I don't think you want cake to be yellow.
It's not lemon, by the way.
No.
It's not lemon. It's I don't know how to describe it more than this is a very distinctive flavor of this like box cake. Baby in the cake, right? Baby in the cake is, I believe it's, my parents, my mom's side is Italian. And we did this all the time there. You would put a baby Jesus, I think, in the cake. And I believe we did it. I mean, now it seems like it would be a Christmas cake. I think it probably is a Christmas cake. I for whatever reason, I thought it was New Year's.
If it was baby Jesus, it's probably Christmas.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. So you put this little baby in and into the cake mix. And then you make the cake.
Uh-huh.
And then you cut the cake. And whoever gets baby Jesus, that's good luck.
Right. Obviously... I mean, I know you think you've explained that well.
Yeah.
But you've still not told us what the baby is, because you put a baby in a cake.
It's a little figure, making it sound like.
Yeah, no, it's not a real baby. Yeah.
It's a baby.
Yeah, no, it's by the way, I just typed in baby, and baby Jesus cake was the first thing that popped up.
That's to do with your searches rather than anything else.
That looks horrible.
So it's basically a little, you get like a little, action figure of a baby.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. And this is also a big thing that they do at Mardi Gras. King cakes, they call them, right?
Like, I think I've heard of king cakes.
Yeah. So king cakes and baby Jesus cakes are pretty the same. Like,
Looks so gross. Why is the cake in every single one of these photos a horrible radioactive color?
Yeah, because that's kind of the king cake thing. I think that's like a very Mardi Gras, Mardi Gras colors are like purple and yellow and green. So we weren't doing that. But so the idea is, so you put this little baby Jesus action figure in there, and then you cut it, and then you don't know. It's basically like Russian roulette cake.
Yeah.
And whoever gets the little baby Jesus on their slice, that brings them good luck.
Right.
I'd like to see the stats on how many people have died by choking on a baby Jesus.
I think you're looking for it. Like, so it's like you got to let everybody know, like, hey, we're looking for baby Jesus in here. So just don't go to town on this cake. Like, we're crossing our fingers that we're getting baby Jesus.
Yeah.
But and it's big, and you have to make it big enough to not choke on it. You know, like if you put a fork in it, you're going to hit a baby Jesus belly.
Yeah.
Or a baby Jesus leg. And then I heard a new part of this story because I met with my friend who was like, oh, we just did one of those baby Jesus cakes. And I was like, oh, wow. And he's like, yeah, he did his on New Year's. That's why I got confused. And he said that his rule is that not only does this person who gets it get good luck, but they have to throw a party the first Saturday in February. Like that's so it's like what? it's sort of saying like
specific rule is
like,
that
so it's like you get this good luck and then you got to throw a party for everybody that you had the cake for first weekend
and then
February.
Do they do is there another cake
no no place? Other cake that's just sort of like no. So it's like a benefit and a deficit. You get good luck but then you also have to go throw a party it's giving you a little work is as part of it. You know, the baby Jesus cake was it's not something that I partake in as an adult, but a child I was very excited about that baby.
Sounds like you just add rules to it and do whatever you like.
You're
like, okay, you get good luck and you're going to throw a party the first weekend of February. And also you have to steal a car.
Yeah, well, and then look, and because the baby Jesus told you to do it, it's okay. It's legal. Yeah, it's baby Jesus commands you.
Yeah.
Would you like us that what we're going to do for your meal is at some point during the meal, we're going to put a baby Jesus in the food.
Yes.
And we're going to tell you what course.
Like a tuna hand roll, all of a sudden a little baby Jesus in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Run it and bolt. I would love it.
Inside a ball of mozzarella on the salad bar.
Yeah.
I'm chipping away at the parm. Yeah. Baby Jesus inside. Yeah. Ready to go.
I'm not going to lie. I might get a bit liberal with the baby Jesuses and put them everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't think you're just going to have one popping up.
No, I mean, how great would it be? I have a big belief that. All right. So what if every restaurant, every night, one baby Jesus is found?
Just one.
One. And so you don't know. Like my big theory is like, there's a bunch of these like haunted houses out here where you go, it's like Halloween Horror Nights and they chase you around with like fake chainsaws and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's a level of like, people are scared because people are jumping at it. But it's like, how great would it be if you go to this thing, Universal Studios, wherever you're going, and one person throughout the holiday season, like, so when it starts September to like November 1st, one person is going to be killed.
We're
not going to tell you when.
Yeah.
And if it did happen, we don't know. Yeah. So you go in there, you're like, oh, fuck. It could be me.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, I can't let my guard down that much because it could have happened. It could not have happened. But someone will get killed from that. And that's part of the risk assessment I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm signing a contract. I'm like, I could be that person.
Yeah.
Now, you don't even know. And so I always thought that would add a level of real anxiety to these events that you will need. And I think if every restaurant instilled the baby Jesus one time in a night, it's like Lotto is happening.
Yeah.
Maybe if you find baby Jesus, free meal.
Yeah.
So you are like, I want to order more stuff, but then my bill's going to go higher, but I have a better chance to get baby Jesus. I don't know.
That's my favorite thing for the server to constantly bring out to you. At that restaurant where she's just like, let me order for you.
It's yeah.
like every single course is a baby Jesus cake.
But not like, just baby Jesus in it. Now, this is, you have to find the baby Jesus in here. Fried eggs with baby Jesus.
Yeah.
If it was a free meal, though, and you were running a restaurant, you'd just put the baby Jesus in the last dish of the night, wouldn't you?
Sure.
If you were the last person to order, they'd just bring you out the baby Jesus.
Well, but you... But it. Here's the thing. Again, if you don't know, you just know that one time a night... Someone's getting a free meal.
Yeah.
It could have been buried in the ice in your shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
There you go.
Little baby Jesus there.
Yeah.
And before we read your order back to you, what's Healthy Old Man getting for dessert?
Healthy Old Man is getting a dark chocolate. He's just gonna have a bite of it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a cake. Not gonna be too decadent. It will be I'm trying to think of what he would really want. You know what? Actually, I'm going to go back and say, like, old man, a scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
Just a plain scoop of vanilla.
And he'd be going, oh, I'm being so bad.
Yeah, I'm being real. I just said, that.
Okay, so I'm going to read your order back to you now.
Yes.
See how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
You would like sparkling water to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh, hot, fluffy bread with salted butter behind the curtains. You want to be unveiled by a bread guy. Your starter is the steak sandwich from
Shima in Tokyo.
Birthday sushi for main course from Sito in LA.
Mm. Yes.
Your side dish, massive salad bar from Fogger de Chow.
Yes.
Drink, a vanilla milkshake from McConnell's.
Yes.
In Santa Barbara. And your dessert, you would just like yellow cake.
Yellow cake. No baby Jesus in that yellow cake.
No. Yellow cake. No baby Jesus. Hold the baby Jesus.
That should be how you have to order all food.
Yeah. Hold the baby Jesus, please. Thank you.
Yeah. That sounds delicious. That sounds great. That?
Yeah, I'm very happy. This is a great, great way to kind of look at all the weird things. I don't know how it makes a great meal, but I'm very happy.
You
with
stuck
it.
To your highbrow, lowbrow.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in, Paul.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul Scheer, for that wonderful menu.
Can't thank you enough, Paul Scheer. That was a delicious menu. And also, thank you to the Healthy Old Man.
Thank you so much to the Healthy Old Man. What a great menu for that guy as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Hopefully, we'll be able to, on social media, share with you the pictures of the Healthy Old Man. hopefully, during the episode, you all Googled baby Jesus cake and stuff like that, and the King Baby.
Yeah.
And you got to see all that kind of stuff. And if you haven't, I mean, that'll be all over social media. I mean, I'm sure... The no context off menu will just tweet a picture of that baby in the cake.
Yeah.
Horrible.
And a picture of the healthy old man.
Hopefully, please. They'll be able to find a picture of the healthy old man.
And he didn't say the secret ingredient, luckily.
Very glad, because, really, liquid smoke. I don't want to say we're playing with fire there. Yeah. We're playing with liquid fire, you know what I mean? But it was possible one. It was possible, but
neither
he didn't
Paul
say it.
Or the healthy old man had liquid smoke.
Healthy old man would never have the liquid
no
smoke. Not
way
at all.
He's
no,
not
no,
adding
no
that to his green juice.
No, absolutely. He loves green juice.
So check out all of Paul's stuff. Like I say, he does a brilliant podcast called How Did This Get Made? It's very, very funny. It's one of my favourite podcasts, so go and listen to that.
Big shout out to the Earwolf people for letting us use their studio.
Yes, thank you. It was a lovely plush studio. We've been recording a lot of these while we've been in LA in our Airbnb, which is a grotty little hole.
Yes. Also, they've got a really fancy photography room at the Earwolf studio. So in case any of you have seen the Twitter for this and seen the photo and been like, what the? This podcast is going up in budget? No, it's not. There's, we've recorded two episodes there and they both have that amazing photo, but that will never be
repeated.
We'll
be back to the regular horrible faded little Polaroid shits that Benito does with his phone.
The awful photos that he takes that would get him fired from any Attenborough documentary if he was on the crew.
Somehow takes photos with an iPhone and makes them look like haunted Victorian portraits.
Yeah, it's all those adverts, aren't they, sometimes about, this was shot on an iPhone. Yeah. Check this out. They don't use Benito's handiwork, I'll tell you that much. People will be buying Samsungs instantly.
Well, thank you very much for listening and thank you to Paul Scheer. Check out all our social media, Out of Menu Official on Instagram and Twitter, and offmenupodcast.co.uk on the internet. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hello, it's Harry Hill here, and I'm recording this trailer for my new podcast, Harry Hill's Noise. Basically, it's a half hour of ambient sound, and then at some point during the podcast, I make a noise. Now, when you're listening to it, you'll forget that I'm about to make a noise, and you'll get lulled into it, and then I'll make the noise, and it'll be really funny. I mean, it doesn't sound like a regular podcast, does it? But believe me, you're going to really love it. So why don't you subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast. It's called Harry Hill's Noise, and it's coming soon.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah, if people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe you know a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.